Hello and welcome. I'm Dr. Kenitra Bryant. And today's Motivational AM targets, your identity is not in your past. For those who are joining me for the first time, thank you. And I want to briefly catch you up to speed. I started a series entitled Identity Crisis, and this series is from a Bible plan I was able to write not too long ago. This series is going into detail about what people identify themselves with. And it could be positive or negative, but you have some people who identify themselves with things, people, status, or even the most horrendous events of their lives. Some people think and they carry this burden that the bad things that occurred in their lives, that makes up the sum total of who they are and who they'll always be. And that's far from the truth. Sometimes a tragic thing happens to a family member or even a friend, and it sticks with the person and they battle that for several years. And another example where somebody is identifying with their past is, it's probably not a horrendous event. It could have been the most memorable moment of a person's life, and that person just can't get past that high that they experienced. It was a positive situation, but they're living in their last victory. And an example of what I'm talking about is, let's say somebody made an A, and they made this A+ in an art class. And this happened when they were in the first grade. So they were in first grade, they received this reward, they get a certificate, all the teachers are giving them pats on the back, they are letting the other students in class know, look what so-and-so did, they did such an outstanding job, that's why they got an A+, and the child is skinning and grinning and holding up a thumbs up, taking pictures. They go home, show their parents the A+, the certificate, the ribbon, talking about their dynamic day. Parents are giving them pats on the back. They put the little drawing on the refrigerator. And every day that 6-year-old looks at that drawing just with pride and just happiness because they did something outstanding. Now, isn't that outstanding? That sounds great. That is dynamic that 6-year-old received that award and got those accolades. But it becomes an issue when the person is now 76 years old, talking about how they're an artiste. Because when they were 70 years ago, man, nobody could draw like them. They got certificates for their work. And for 70 years, countless people heard their story. Their children heard the story. Their grandchildren heard the story. Their great-grandchildren heard the story. Neighbors heard the story. People at the church house heard it. People in high school heard it. Their co-workers heard it. They heard the story at the retirement party for the person. And every time that person brings up that certificate, that reward, those accolades they got when they were 6 years old because they drew a little painting or whatever they did, when they start expressing it to people, people are, when you got that award, when you were 6, you told us. Yeah, you bring that up every chance you get. Now, this example that I just provided shows that a person is living in their past. They're not revisiting it occasionally. It's everywhere they go and in every conversation. And you've probably met people like that, where they only talk about their past victories and they stay there because they possibly feel that their identity is in that, although it was a stellar achievement. And then you have some people who still stay in those horrendous events. And I'm not knocking anybody who stays in those two extremes, whether it be positive or negative. It's just all about balance. But some people identify themselves in their past opposed to their present. And sometimes that might happen because individuals need closure on things. They need to process things properly, or they haven't dealt with things in a healthy manner. So It just depends. But our aim is to move on and strive for bigger and better achievements. Although the achievements in the past are dynamic, we always want to try to get to the next level and thank God where He brought us from. And we also want to get to the next level as it relates to the horrendous things we encountered and endured, knowing that although we went through them, those things don't define us. And there is a healthy way to address pain, and there is a healthy way to express some of the most exciting moments in our lives. As I possibly mentioned in previous episodes, my aim during this series is to get your eyes off of the strongholds that seek to keep you in prison. And I'm not taking away the fact that these things did occur in your life. And I'm not telling anybody or encouraging or advising anyone to live in denial. But it is important to understand that whatever you endured and went through, it's important to process it, understand what happened, and move forward. And if you need to seek a counselor, a mentor, a friend, a therapist, do so. But ask God to lead you to the right one. Ask Him for wisdom as you select the right therapist or the right counselor or the right mentor or the right friend to confide in. And I say this because you can go search for somebody who's credible all day long, but just because they're credible, it doesn't mean that they're the right fit for you. And you don't want to get caught up just looking at somebody's credentials and not seek wisdom from God on what you should do. My ultimate goal and my ultimate aim is to encourage you. Although I am a doctor, it wouldn't be wise for me to prescribe a one-size-fits-all remedy for your issue. The great physician, Jesus Christ, has the power to not only prescribe life-changing solutions for your ailments, your pains, and your aches, but He also has the power to heal and restore you. So as I stated earlier, my aim is to lead you straight to Jesus. And as believers, we should intentionally get our minds and hearts in position to believe and receive the promises of God regarding how He can use every circumstance for our individual and collective good. So I encourage you, as I stated previously, to listen to parts 1-3 of this podcast series. But now I'm focusing on the target, that your identity is not in your past. And it can be a very sad situation, and you probably have experienced this, where there are some people in your life or some people you probably know who are set on keeping you in the past because that is the only place they can relate with you on. Or it could be that the past serves as the place where you experience some of the most pain, fear, trauma, abuse, neglect, and mistreatment. And if somebody can keep you there, in a sense, it makes them feel comfortable and they feel like they're in control to manipulate you, belittle you, debase you, and just downright disrespect you. A person who has identified what their past is and they're moving past their past by growing spiritually and taking the necessary steps for self-care, they haven't blacked out and forgotten about those experiences and moments, but they are moving forward to heal, all whilst they help other people do the same. In a sense, they're using their pain to help lighten the load for somebody else who is in desperate need of a listening ear and change. But a person who is fixated on only addressing a person in their past pain or past things they engaged in or their lifestyles, they are the ones who are really stuck, and they don't want people to show them that life goes on. And they don't want to see the evidence of what God can do for a person's past, all while He blesses their present and future. A person who wants to keep you stagnant, stuck, and sedentary in your past will possibly look at you now and have the audacity to mutter from their mouths statements like these. Don't act brand new. Okay, I see you making a few coins, talking about you trust God and love Jesus and all of that, but remember what you used to do and how you used to be. Yeah, they say you've turned your life around, saying you're mentoring young people who are on a path of destruction. I laugh because it's honorable what you're doing and all, but I remember all the things you used to do and who you did those things with and where you did those things. Man, you a trip talking about you changed for the better. All right, we'll see. Yeah, I heard about you getting a new residence, a new zip code. So you moved down there? Got out of here, huh? Well, just because you moved over there, I remember what your reputation was over here. I'll never forget that. Now, some of you listening can relate to someone telling you about what you used to do, and with their skewed sense of reality, they want to declare that your past dictates who you are. And you'll never succeed. You're nothing. You'll never be nothing. And you don't need to expect nothing. But isn't it funny that some of those same people who tell you or tell a person or someone you love that their mistakes and choices will always define them and deprive them of their destiny and dreams, these are the same people walking around asking you to pray for them. They're seeking prayer. They need you to go intercede for them. Now, they want God to work on them because they're dealing with their past. But no. You can't move past your past. They want to identify you in your past. They don't want to see deliverance in your life. They don't want to see forgiveness take root in your life. They don't want to see success in your life, but they want to reap success. They want forgiveness. They want deliverance. They want a turning point. They want a divine breakthrough. They want a divine reversal. They need to be restored. That's what they want, but they don't want you to have it. They want to identify you by your past. And these same people, they always want other people to soothe their fears, and they want people to declare blessings over their lives. They're the main ones hooping and hollering when a sermon is preached or an encouraging word is proclaimed. When somebody's talking about how God can restore you and God can reverse you and God can clean up what the devil messed up and the Lord can turn your past mistakes to precious moments, man. They hooping and hollering when they hear a sermon. When the preacher says the Lord can work those things out where people counted you out and the Lord can cause people to forget about your past and get you past your past. It's the Lord who defined you. It's the Lord who refined you. It's the Lord who won't let your hater outshine you. Now, that's going on at church. Now, that was an encouraging word, okay? But you have people who want to identify you by your past, but they're declaring and receiving and believing God to change theirs. Now that's a major problem. That is a major issue. Now some people, they want the blessing of getting past their past and moving forward, but they don't want you to move forward. And that is very perverse. And it makes a person question their identity and what they really represent. But as I said earlier, or stated earlier, I believe that you know somebody who's done this to you. And if you're a person who does this, I encourage you to have a talk with Jesus and be open and honest on why this is going on and seek true deliverance in this area. But some of the issue from a person not able to see themselves outside of their past is that the past keeps coming up. Has that ever happened to you when you're trying to get over something, you're trying to get through something, and you're making some strides? It could be a daily stride where you achieved a goal for that day, where you're just moving through, holding your head up, trusting God. You made it one day. Then you end up making it a full week. Then you make it a full month. but now you're going on 6 months and then somebody sees you making these strides, moving forward in life, and they just have to come up and tell you, you know what, you might be making progress, but remember who you used to be? Remember how we found you? Remember who we found you with? Remember where you were? You remember your state of mind? Oh man, I don't see you getting better. I don't see you moving forward, because never forget that day. Never forget that that's who you are. Now, somebody hearing that, it's going to be hard for them to move forward if they don't have the right state of mind and they don't have a support system to push them through and pray for them. See, when a person experiences something like that, they could regress. They could relapse. And it could just be so bad where starting over just seems impossible, because they think the rest of their lives they're always going to be slammed, hit, stomped on, and slapped with their past. And that can be so difficult. But instead of people forgiving others, leaving them alone, and praying them through situations, some people are so broken that they feel like they have to antagonize others. Sometimes when things keep coming up, it's because we possibly haven't dealt with them properly. We didn't deal with the issue at the root. And until we properly deal with the root the right way, the issue will always be there. And it could be years, but until the root, the feelings, the emotions, the conversations, the questions, the answers, the doubts, the fears, the shoulda, woulda, couldas are dealt with, then that could be a cause of the past coming up also. And that's where a person could possibly end up thinking their identity is in their past. Now, although there are internal things that have to be checked, the externals as it relates to people, we have to put things in proper perspective. See, when people don't know God's call on your life today, they tend to dwell on who you were yesterday, who you were last week, last month, or even last year. And although your past might represent hard knock experiences, it doesn't dictate your final outcome. Now, people might attempt to finalize your life's outcome and doubt your future based on a series of mistakes you've made, but praise God, He gives us another chance, chance after chance. Remember, no matter what others state, your identity in totality is not in your past. Your identity is in the present love and grace of Jesus Christ. Don't allow someone's negative, skewed sense of rationale dictate your destiny. God's promises concerning you is what prevails and what truly matters. Now I want to direct your attention to a moment in history found in Scripture where a woman was something and people could have focused on what she used to do and who she used to be. But this woman's past did not stop her from being a committed follower of God the Father, leading people to spiritual deliverance and physical deliverance from the Word of God, and her tenacity and boldness in her newfound relationship with our Lord and Savior. So I encourage you to read Joshua, the second chapter, in its entirety. But to give you a framework of the chapter, we meet Rahab. Rahab is identified as a prostitute in Scripture, and her dwelling place was in the city wall. Joshua sent two spies to scout out the land to determine the best tactic on how the Israelites would conquer the city of Jericho. The spies came because of God's agenda, not their own. But when they arrived to the city, the king of Jericho found out about it and went to Rahab to have the men turned in. And isn't it something, when you are coming to do something that God sent you to do, where you are a part of a change, a revolution, or righteousness, people find out about it and they do whatever they can to thwart the change. But Rahab told the authorities, looking for the two spies, that they were not around. Rahab could have went along and had these men arrested, apprehended, and done away with, but she considered her alternatives. She was focused on bringing honor, glory, and reverence to God, and she wanted to do the right thing by his people. So she protected these two spies, even when people pressed her about their whereabouts because they didn't want change in their city. They didn't want the thought of things shifting taking place. So the authorities left. Rahab lets the men know that she heard about how the Lord protected the Israelites and all the great things he did for them. And she revealed that the people were terrified. Although Rahab was a prostitute, she made a conscious decision to follow God right where she was. She didn't say, "I'm going to turn these men in and one day I'll get my life right." In a sense, God allowed the men to come to her to see what she would do. Sometimes some people pray for a chance for deliverance, looking for this mighty thing, and they want God to deliver them in this mighty way. But God can change the course of your life in your everyday activities. Somebody can come to where you are, receive some help, receive some salvation, and then by your influence, by your impact, they become a disciple and a follower of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, right where they are, and then right where you are. And this is exactly what happened with Rahab. Rahab shared her knowledge of God's miraculous power, even while she was living a lifestyle where others might have attempted to predict her future. Rahab didn't allow her past to dictate her decision to powerfully impact her family by turning wholeheartedly to God. Now, in the course of the pursuit and scouting, Rahab asked the spies to return the kindness she showed to them and her family. The spies agreed and gave Rahab specific instructions to follow, which included bringing her entire family into her house during the conquest of Jericho. Rahab's influence and determination to save her family was beyond her past. She didn't allow her past to serve as an indicator of her identity in God's salvation plan of redemption for her and her family. See, she didn't focus on, "Well, I'm a follower of Jesus and I'm a follower of the Savior of the world and I believe God, but people might focus on my past so they might not listen to me. Maybe I should just stay there and stay identified with my past." No, she had to go witness and share the good news to those who believed and received. And Rahab focused on God's will, and in turn, it blessed her family's future. Rahab's identity was not in her past. Rahab moved forward in the things of God and sought her identity in him. Rahab's identity was in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And she got on the right side of history at a critical moment when a revolution was taking place for righteousness. Now, Rahab did it. She spoke up. She loudly declared to her family the love of the Lord, the salvation of the Lord, the delivering power of the Lord, and the faithfulness of the Lord. And not only did she boldly speak up, she boldly led people in the right direction. And she didn't focus on her past. She didn't focus on what people thought. She just knew God would come all the way through for her, and he did. This intentional action became the source of Rahab's influence for her family, and she will forever be identified in Christ as an ancestor to the King of Kings. Rahab's identity is in Christ and not her past. Rahab is referred to now in the Heroes Hall of Fame, as mentioned in Hebrews the 11th chapter and the 31st verse. This is encouragement for us not to get tied up allowing some people to project their identity issues and their identity crisis onto us. Some people might have issues with their past. they might have things that they need to work on and work through because they can't see themselves without their past. But don't let their issues become your issues, because we all have our own issues, and nobody with any sense is trying to pick up someone else's stuff, somebody else's trash, unless they absolutely need to. But in that case, you shouldn't even want to. Your identity is not in your past. God can change and turn anyone around. God knows how to deal with your mess, your family's mess, your grandchildren's mess, your children's mess, your past, your children's past, your mama, your daddy, your sister, your granny's past, anybody's past, trash, mess, test, whatever. God knows how to deal with that. But it's up to us to understand that although God can deal with it, we have to be willing to give it to Him, knowing that our identity is not in our past. Our identity is in Christ and where Christ is taking you. Even if someone looks you up and brings up what you did and how you were no good and what they think of you, just remember when you made the decision to cast your cares on the Lord and follow Him wholeheartedly right where you are. That is for God to work out. God is your vindicator. God is your protector. God is your healer. And God is your restorer. And God knows what to do with your past. And it's up to us to follow God and leave the consequences to Him. God has a way of turning your enemy's counsel into absolute foolishness. And you can read that in 2 Samuel, the 15th chapter and the 31st verse if you want to. So the aim is to focus on your identity in Christ and not your past, and understand that your identity is not your past. And a scripture I would like to leave you with is 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse, which states, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." I selected this scripture for you today to remind you that your identity is not in your past. It's important to ponder this word from God today and ask God to speak to you about this hidden truth and receive His word and understand that whatever God has called you to do, it doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what people say. Nothing from your past can keep you from what God has for you. It's important to understand that, because some people get caught up thinking that their past, the things that happened to them, that identifies them, and that's going to be the qualifier if they can move forward in life. And even if you made some mistakes in your past, remember, your mistakes don't define you. Your mistakes are your experiences, and you learn from them. So be encouraged and take a moment to pray to God about your identity and thank Him that your identity is in Him and not your past. God has you, in a sense, tattooed or engraved on the palm of His hand, and He loves you, and He always thinks about you, and He's looking out for you, and He has a special purpose for you. Never forget that. And your past cannot thwart God's plan and purpose for your life. So I want to thank you all for tuning in, and I hope this was encouraging for you. And if you would like to download the Identity Crisis Bible Plan, feel free to head over to my website, drkenitrabryant.com, where you can access this resource for your individual or group Bible study. You also have the option to review a condensed version of the Identity Crisis Bible Plan on the YouVersion Bible app. And don't forget to share this podcast and connect with me on Instagram at Encouraging You. Enjoy the remainder of your day. Do not forget that your identity is not in your past. Your identity is in Jesus Christ. Peace and God bless.